Heathens, how have you gathered against me once again? Yet this time it's all in vain. Weapon against me shall prosper, your wicked schemes I shall defy. I must reign to prophesy. I am the resurrection. I am the light. I know I must raise the sleeping saints and shall not die. I must prophesy and shall not die. Lord, have your way and bruise me, for it pleases you that I must die, that your life must be glorified. How my senses resist me, but I'm pressed down to the ground. I must break these laws of gravity. Oh, I am the resurrection. I must raise the sleeping saints and shall not die. Lord, how I feel you. Lord, how I feel. Sorry. Lord, how I feel you by pressing into my soul. And I know I'll soon be out of this world. Swallow up my mortality. I must break these laws of gravity. Oh, I am the resurrection. I know I am the light. I know I must raise a sleeping saint and child die. I must prophesy and child die. Amen. We sing one chorus. We'll ask Sister Eve to sing, and then we let Brother Vitali and Sister Una sing us the last song. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's just sing that. I'm going to stay under the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's stand and sing that one. I'm going to
Is that not the truth? Amen. Where does the devil give you a hard time? Is when you come out from under the blood. Amen. Come out from under the word. Come out from under the protection and see how the devil shoots at you. Sometimes we have enough hard time wrestling against powers and principalities even under the blood. So why would we ever choose ourselves to go out from under the blood? What God has provided for us as our protection, take full advantage in this age. Just keep yourself as far from sin as you can. Keep yourself under the blood. It's a wonderful place to be. We do greet you, saints, in Jesus' name. I just want to greet Michael as well. He's with us for the first time. We do appreciate him being with us. May the Lord bless him as we continue on. I just want to say wonderful time this morning in the Word. Do so appreciate it, Brother Vitaly. Just to give themselves over into the hands of the Lord and to let the Lord have his wonderful way. Hallelujah. Really appreciate it. There were so many things with virtue that were said. So many gleanings, so many things you can pick up. I'm sure you were the same as me. That you could really, really chew over so many of those things for such a long time. It was a real, real wonderful thought. Let's open John 17. We're not going to take long in the word here. Like I said, that's always the kiss of death whenever you say that. But you're not going to take long. We've had a real, real good time in the word. But let's come to communion. So we're just going to take John chapter 17. Just read some scriptures. We'll read through a part of this, the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think it'll give us some virtue, some thought as we do come to the communion itself. Let's just read the first couple of verses, then you may be seated. We'll read the first five verses. These words spoke Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Amen. Father, bless this portion of your word. Take it, we ask and pray. Father, you break the bread of life unto us once again. Thank you, Father, for the time we had on Friday with Brother Billy. May you bless him. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the time we had last night. Thank you for the time you gave us this morning. Restore virtue to our brother, we pray. Now, Father, as we'd approach the communion table, as we'd approach the sacred time, won't you just lead us and guide us, Lord, on holy ground to take off our shoes upon this afternoon to approach you. And may you speak unto us through the sacredness of your word. That, Father, as we'd come, Lord, it might be acceptable before thee, Lord. Bless your people, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated, saints. This prayer of John chapter 17 has been called many different things. We've looked at it before as the high priest's prayer. This is Jesus, his great work of intercession, just as he came right to the last hours of his mortality. And the thing I really love about this portion of scripture, it's one of those portions of scripture you can go to because this is perfectly and purely the word of what Jesus had in his heart. In the last few hours of his life, he was facing up to the cross. Judas has already left the Last Supper. He's already betrayed Jesus. He's already, you know, speaking to the high priest. He's arranging to get to the place where they're going to arrest Jesus and so forth. Jesus, knowing all of these things, I just find it so powerful because this chapter 17, when Jesus lifts up his eyes to pray, he's going to show us what was in his heart. Because friends, when you pray, not when you pray, that like the prophet says, when we pray in public, you can't pray the way you normally do. Amen. When you know people are listening to you, it's never the same. But when you get into your secret closet, when you get out there in the fields or in your bedroom or in your car, wherever it is that you like to pray, and you really get before the Lord, what you say there is who you really are. You know, if you're a genuine person, you'll say the deep things that are in your heart. You'll speak of your fears. You'll speak of your desires. You'll speak of your burdens. You'll speak of your disappointments to him. Especially once you get into the presence of the Lord and that atmosphere comes down and you enter into the real realm of prayer, If somebody was listening to your prayer, that would be an unveiling of who you really are. Somebody would really know what are your ambitions and what are your thoughts and what are your purposes by the things that you pray. So as we look at John chapter 17, we can really see what was the burden on Jesus' heart. What was his desire? What was he really, really, what was governing him at this time? He's facing up to an ordeal, this great ordeal that no man ever before or ever since has to go through such an ordeal that the Lord Jesus Christ is just entering into at this time. As we spoke of it the other weeks about the last days of the Son of Man. Now as he entered into that particular realm and the hour of darkness started to settle in, and he knew now exactly what he was entering into, and you know, he knew what he had to endure, he knew what he had to go through. But I find it so amazing to see what were the priorities. What was the real inside life? What was really within the veil of Jesus at that time? Brother Vitaly was speaking of that last night. He was saying, you know, if you could unveil a minister, anybody's heart, you know, it would be a powerful thing to do. That's something that can really bring a unity between people. You know, because people might have looked at Jesus. You could have wondered, but you know, Jesus, what did he really think about me? But when he started to pray, he shows what he really thinks about you. He shows here what he really thinks about his disciples when he's in prayer. And when you really know what somebody thinks about you, when somebody unveils themselves and opens up, and you can enter into that most holy place of that secret place inside of somebody's bosom, you know, that's a place that you can really, really have fellowship once you know people like that. And how wonderful it is that the Lord Jesus Christ, he didn't have to pray this prayer. He didn't have to pray in public. I mean, he was always in prayer, Jesus. Jesus was a man of prayer. His whole life was prayer. When he was baptized, he was in prayer. Mount Transfiguration, he went there to pray, the Bible says. He prayed all night, the Bible says. He got up early in the morning before the breaking of day another time. He was always in prayer. So, I mean, he didn't really have to pray this prayer in public at this time. But I really do believe that prayer, that he prayed, he wanted us to really know the desires of his heart. Because these desires that are unveiled in John 17, they're his desires to us. They're the greatest ambitions that he has, and his ambitions include us. And Jesus didn't want to just inherit glory himself. To him, glory isn't glory until we're there with him. And that's what you'll find in these secret thoughts, these intimate thoughts of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's a real unveiling, this John chapter 17. Yeah, and I also think he prayed this prayer for himself as well, because you know sometimes things can be preached, you can catch certain revelations, you can go through certain things, and it's so good to go and take those things back to the Lord. You know, when you go and pray things to the Lord, like Brother Vitaly was preaching yesterday, the things preaching today, if something struck you, it's wonderful to go back and speak those things back to the Lord. Like if you see Jesus speaking about, Father, glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. Go and pray that to the Lord yourself. See how real that becomes. If you start praying, Lord, glorify me with the glory that I had with you from before the foundation of the world. I mean, that's a serious prayer. And as you pray that to him, if you go with sincerity, that becomes very real to you as well. There's a power in that. So there's something about the power of prayer. And imagine Jesus about to enter into this great passion that he has to go through, into this great crisis. We can also see from this prayer just how perfectly prepared that he was for what he had to go through. Nothing was taking him by surprise. Nothing to him was out of place. He's just entering into what he has to enter into. And that's one thing I really do believe, that the genuine believer, we desire to be in that place. That no matter what it is that you have to go through, no matter where our footsteps have to go, no matter the valleys, the afflictions, the conflicts we have to go through, that if you could be like the Lord Jesus Christ, just being so prepared. He knew exactly what was expected of him. He knew exactly what he was entering into. And he knew exactly what the results were going to be. He knew he was going to inherit the glory once again. So if you look at verse 1, it says, these words spake Jesus and lifted his eyes to heaven. So Jesus had just finished speaking certain words, which is John chapter 16. Read the last verse of John chapter 16. That's verse 33. This is what Jesus had just said. And I think it's a good thing for us to remember. These things I've spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Imagine, Judas is just betraying him. The Sanhedrin, they come in together. There's the uniting time against him. The Pharisees, the Sadducees are coming together. They're plotting his death. There's already the beam of the cross has been put in place for his crucifixion the next day. The government's getting involved. You know, they're starting to know about Jesus at this time. That same night, Jesus knows his disciples are going to forsake him. They're going to be offended just in a couple of hours. There's so much around him that you would think there's crisis going on here. But Jesus is saying, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Do you mean he doesn't look at those circumstances? He knows who he is. He knows what he came for. He knew his father. He knew his father's will. And those things were far more real to him than all these other circumstances. He knew these circumstances are going to take care of themselves. These circumstances are taking place that the scriptures may be fulfilled. But Jesus inside of himself, in the midst, just entering into this greatest battle, he can say to his disciples, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That's why they call this the prayer of the great overcomer. And it is. This is the real prayer of Jesus the overcomer. Friends, when the devil throws everything at you, like he threw at Jesus here, although it was just to fulfill the scripture, the devil didn't know that. This was the great battle plan that God had. This was a plan that the devil didn't understand. This was God's way of overcoming the devil, but the devil thought, I've got him now. And the devil was throwing everything that he could. I've deceived his treasurer. I've got him to betray him. I've united all the churches against him. I've got the government involved. This is going to be the end of him. And in the midst of all of that taking place, never ruffled Jesus a bit. Jesus just walked calmly into it. And I think, friends, that's the attributes of the Word made flesh. He is the Word made flesh. And that is how the Word looks at situations. And that is the real maturity of the Word. So Jesus says, be of good cheer. Then chapter 17, verse 1, these words spake Jesus and lifted his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. See, Jesus lived according to the divine timetable. He knew there was a season and a time for everything. He knew where he was in this great timetable that God had set for his life. And it should be like that with you and I, friends. We should be able to look back and see there's been different seasons. And God has taken us from one place to another at certain times and seasons in our lives. And where we are now is exactly where we're supposed to be. And he moved into this time now. He says, Father, the hour has come. That's a person who's prepared for what's to come because he knows exactly what it is that's coming upon him. It didn't take him unawares, friends. Jesus walked into it knowing perfectly what he was doing. And as this age continues unfolding itself the way that it is, and the darkness continues to press in from every side, and the government pass their laws, and the churches come together, and all the things that we see taking place, to the genuine believer, we can be of good cheer. It's just the next stage of the timetable. You know, and to the believer that's walking in the channel of prophecy, like Brother Vitaly was saying, that we are prophets because of the prophetic spirit that is upon us. We see through the prophetic eye. We see through the prophetic anointing. Nothing should take us by surprise, friends. When we see the great bear, Russia, there flexing its muscles, it doesn't take us by surprise. We're just surprised that it's taken so long. Amen. We're expecting it to do so long ago because watch the King of the North. We knew that all along. And when we see the churches coming together and Kenneth Copeland making his video to the Pope and the Pope sending his video to Kenneth Copeland, it doesn't take us by surprise. It's all part of the divine timetable. It's already been laid out and we're just walking in this channel. Like the song says, we know who we are. And we know what we are put here to do. Exactly like the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Friends, there's nothing wrong praying for anything that you need as a believer, as long as it's for the glory of God. There's no selfishness in a believer's prayer. You might pray your whole prayer for yourself, yet it not be a selfish prayer. Jesus was saying, Father, glorify me that I might glorify you. And I think we need to pray that, friends. We need to continually pray, Lord, glorify me that I might glorify you. Reveal yourself to me that I might reveal you to other people. Lord, make yourself real to me that I might make you real to other people. Lord, anoint me that I might break the yoke of other people. It's Lord, glorify me that I might glorify you. Because friends, we can't glorify him unless he first glorifies us. He's got to do something for us. He's got to equip us. He's got to quicken us. And then we can glorify him. And that's what Jesus was praying about as he entered into this time. And through it all, as you read this prayer, the ultimate objective of Jesus, the number one priority he had in all that he thought and did, all that he prayed, was to glorify his Father. Friends, that's outstanding. He had so many other needs at that time, pressing needs on every hand that he could have been praying about. But the first thing, the ultimate thing he's praying for at that time, Father, glorify your name. You be glorified. Glorify me. And I would say, Saint, if you're a believer, it doesn't matter what's going on in your life, if that objective is number one in your bosom today, you're in a very good place. You're in the right place spiritually where you're supposed to be. If you're trying to glorify yourself, you're heading for trouble. If you're trying to glorify somebody else, you're not in the position you're supposed to be as a believer. But if your desire this afternoon as we come to communion is to say, Father, I want to glorify your name. Father, glorify your name. Friends, I really do believe that is something that God so respects. Now, if you can overlook everything else taking place, you might feel this brother betrayed me and these disciples let me down when I needed them the most. Well, you're in good company. That's exactly what Jesus was going through, was about to go through. But that never governed his behavior. His behavior was governed by one thing, his desire to glorify his Father. That was the first thought that he had in his bosom when he unveiled the secret place here in this high priest's prayer. He wanted to glorify his Father. He says in verse 2, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. So Jesus knew, Father, this man Judas, he's gone his way, but you never gave him to me. But as many as you've given to me, Lord, Father, I've given them eternal life. And what is eternal life? Verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Friends, just to believe in God means nothing. The devils believe in God and tremble. There's no eternal life in believing in God. To have eternal life, you have to know him and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. It's the revelation of the present tense Jesus Christ, the unveiling of God personally to you in this hour that gives you eternal life. That's how the prophet says denominational people think they're under the blood, but they're not. They're believing unto eternal life. But when Jesus has come in this age and has revealed himself and has revealed the glory of the Father, they never recognized that. They rejected that. That's why it says, this is life eternal, that they may know you. Amen. That's why if you have a personal relationship with God today, you're one of the blessed of this earth. Amen. If you have a relationship, he's your Father and you his Son. Though sometimes he has to chastise you. Though sometimes he has to lead you in the rough paths of the way to teach you certain things. Amen. But you are the blessed of the earth. Because this is life eternal, to know him. And how can you know him if he doesn't unveil himself to you in your day? It was fine, like the brother was saying this morning, how he revealed himself in the days of Wesley was wonderful, but that was his manifestation then. How he revealed himself in the Reformation to Luther, that was wonderful, but it doesn't affect us today. We need to find out, where is he now? Where has he placed his name now? How can I personally know him now? And the only place you're going to find him is the ministry of the Son of Man. Is his unveiling. And that's where you find him in this age. And that's life eternal. The rest of the people have to be given white robes like the Jews at the white throne judgment because they didn't have white robes. They didn't receive them here because they didn't know him. And they didn't know Jesus Christ whom he had sent. Verse 4. I have glorified thee on the earth. Friends. That's a person who can enter into death knowing he's coming out in a resurrection. That was the confidence Jesus had. He knew, Father, I know you're going to glorify me again. Because I finished the work that you gave me to do. That was his confidence. He says, I've glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work that you gave me to do. That's like Paul. I finished the course. I've run the race. I fought a good fight. Now, henceforth, there's laying up for me a crown of life. And not only for me, but also for all them that love his appearing. Friends, that should be, like Brother Vitaly was preaching last night, to find your position, to find the purpose of your being, for you to fulfill the purpose that you've been put here. That might mean you're going to have to lay aside a lot of your ambitions like Paul. You're going to have to become a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lay aside all the ambitions of your parents like Moses, like Paul, those people of the Bible. Be stripped of certain things and be put into situations that you never expected. But to the genuine believer who's born of the word, that's the desire of your heart. Amen. To say, Father, yes, education's good, but even if I don't get it, that's okay. Lord, riches are fine, but if riches bypass me, I'm not going to worry about that. Because the one thing that I desire, Father, is to finish the work that you sent me to do. Amen. Is that I might glorify your name. Because friends, he's not going to glorify us unless we glorify him. Amen. The prophet says, who inherits eternal life? He says, anything that fulfills its purpose on earth will receive eternal life, will be in eternity. It's to fulfill your purpose. And as we come to take communion today, ask yourself, what is my purpose? You may not perfectly be there. If you are, you're one of the very, very selective few in this life. But you should be seeing yourself getting there. You should be able to say, I'm not what I used to be. I'm sure not what I used to be. You should be able to see yourself moving into a certain place that God has been channeling and preparing for you from before the foundation of the world. You should be seeing it becoming more clearer day by day. You should be becoming more mature in your calling. You should be learning from your mistakes and shortcomings and moving into that image that God had for you. That you may move into the image of the masterpiece, and then he can say, speak, and something's going to take place. Because what Michelangelo had in his mind was now standing before him. There's a lot of things he had to remove to get it into that image. But finally, when that image stood before him, he said, speak, and he struck the image. And that's what it is with us as well. He's going to move every one of his children to that place, to that image, to that condition, which is the very purpose that he put us here. Now, Jesus being the Word, he knew perfectly why he was on earth. He knew perfectly what he was supposed to do. He perfectly did the will of his Father. As was quoted this morning, I do nothing until my Father shows me first. I always do that which pleases my Father. None of us can testify of that. We wish we could. But that's why we need the provision of the blood. To go and say, Father, I didn't do it right. Lord, I didn't do what I was supposed to do. But Jesus didn't ever have to say that once. He says, I do that only which pleases my Father. And friends, that was his confidence as he walked right into the jaws of death. He knew he was coming out the other side. And this was where his confidence was based. On the revelation of the word, yes. But also he knew, I finished the work that you gave me to do. That's why he could go and say in verse 5, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world began. And any believer can pray that. Say, Father, I was with you in glory. Friends, the prophet says the eternal quality of the elect. That's something inside of you that transcends time and space that God put inside of you. And Jesus knew that. Jesus knew, I come from God. And I go back to God. And while I'm between these two glories, the glory I had then and the glory I'm going back into now, between these glories, the days of my flesh, I fulfilled his will in the days of my flesh. And friends, us as believers, between these glories as well, the glory which we had with him and the glory which we shall inherit, we're in the days of our flesh. These are the days of our flesh, and we just need to keep it ever before us. That our desire may be to finish the work that he sent us to do, that he's ordained us to do. Then he says in verse 6, now he starts to pray for his disciples. He says, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. So there's only certain people that were given to Jesus out of the world. These are the tithings of the people of the earth. This is the elect. These are those that are ordained unto life eternal. It's not for everybody. And what is the proof of these people? How are we going to know that we one of these people? The first thing, verse 6, I have manifested your name to the men that thou gavest me. He comes to manifest his name to you, reveals himself. The woman at the well, she didn't know that she was one of them. Amen. Until Jesus, the Son of Man, came to her. Amen. And he manifested the name of the Father to her. Amen. And then she recognized who he was. Amen. And when she recognized who he was, she recognized who she was as well. Amen. And then likewise, priest Lazarus, then she moved into the position. Amen. And she went and testified to the people in the city. Amen. It was that manifestation. God revealing himself in present tense personally to your soul. God revealing himself to you, his attributes to you. The rest of the people, friends, they will see the ministry of the Son of Man. They will see the discernment. They will see the works of God. And they'll call it Beelzebub. And they'll say, that's a cult, that's false prophet, and all those kind of things. Why is it that when you and I saw it, something struck that we've never been able to get away from? Through all the criticisms, through all the trials, through all the opposition we've been through. Why is it we believe it the way we believe? Even more now than we ever believed it in the past. That's a proof, friends. As many as thou gavest me out of the world, I've manifested my name to them. Now it's not enough just to manifest the name. Continue reading the verse. I've manifested your name to the men which you gave me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. It's just natural, friends, for the elect. When the Lord reveals himself, something comes to life. Amen. And that something in you, it keeps the word. Amen. It keeps the word. Nobody has to crank us. Nobody has to force us. No one has to persuade us to keep the word. We want to keep the word. Amen. It's our meat and drink to do the will of our Father. Amen. And to finish the work that he sent us to do. That's our satisfying portion. That's where we find satisfaction in this life. It's when we're keeping his word. When we're doing his will. The rest of the people, friends, they'll try to come in. They'll come along for a season like Orpah with Ruth. And after a while, when the testing time comes, they'll go back to their gods. They'll go back to their people. But there's a certain elect in this age, friends. There's a certain people that were ordained unto these things. And once that manifestation, that light strikes them, it's going to start bringing forth of its own kind as sure as the world. It just can't help from doing it. The outward man may hold you back, may have his own opinions, may have his own feelings. But friends, it's only the inner man that it pleases you to follow, because that's who you really are. To obey the voice of the inner man. And the prophet says that inner man only feeds on the word. That's the only thing that satisfies him. You can try to give him the old denominational husks and all those. He's not going to be satisfied by those things. He needs something present tense. He needs the message of the hour. Because the message was sent for the elect. And the elect were put there for the message. And when those two things come together, something's going to take place. It's like when a man and a woman come together and the woman's fertile. Something's going to take place, friends. Life's going to come forth, just a matter of time. It's the same. When the light strikes that seed, something's going to take place. And that's how you find it even. As the brother was speaking down that line last night, even in a local assembly, you find that God brings certain people. God ordains the people. Is it not amazing? You find Brother Will comes from here, Brother David comes from there, Brother Max comes from somewhere else. Each person comes, there's a bit of an adjusting period at first, and then I find a person goes into their position. And you find, but hey, this brother's such a blessing here. Brother Georgie finds his position, Brother Vlad finds his position, Brother Francois finds his position. Is that not powerful how that works? This isn't psychology, friends. This isn't man management and doing all these schemes of men. The children of God move into their position. It may be some friction along the way and birth pains until the fullness is brought forth. But it's just the way that it's supposed to be. But other people will come, they can just never seem to fit in. Other people can, they may even sometimes be real good believers because they're not supposed to be in that place. How many times have we said it, friends? It's the truth. Some people leave the poverty of Africa and they were doing so well spiritually. And they want to come for a good life over here. They want to find the easier life, good employment. And it's the worst decision that they ever made. Because they come here and they die spiritually. And you say, but this person used to be such a powerful believer back there, but how come they died when they got here? They're not supposed to be here, friends. They're living under a permissive will of God. But there's other people like John on Patmos. It doesn't matter where you put them. If they're in the will of God, they're going to be in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And those people will come right into the Catholicism darkness of Ireland. And they're going to find their place. And they're going to prosper. And they're going to start bringing forth fruit. And they're going to start manifesting what they're supposed to manifest. And they're going to start to glorify His name. Friends, it's a natural thing. And this is the work that God has done. And it's a wonderful work. Because this is His program. This is His body. This is the way that He brings everything together. And it all starts just with this manifesting of Himself to the people in every age. He says, verse 7. Let's go to verse 8. It says, "For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me." Jesus is doing a lot of things here. You're going to see it. The first thing He's going to do, He's going to pray for His disciples. He's going to pray for us. That's the first defense for His people. Jesus has been put responsible for us. He says, "Father, they were yours, but now you gave them to me." And He's not going to lose any of them that are committed to Him. And the first thing He's going to do to make sure He doesn't lose them, He's going to pray for them. He's going to intercede for them. And the second thing He's going to do, He's going to give them His word. He's going to send the message to them. That's the second thing that He does to His elect. And that's what He says, "I've given them the word which you gavest me, and they have received them." You can always tell someone is ordained unto life. Like the Bible says, as many as were ordained unto eternal life believed. Amen. They never had to have long altar calls persuading people to come. As many as were ordained unto life believed. Amen. That's the way that it was. When the word would come, the quickened word, they would believe. Amen. "I've given them the word," Amen. "And they received it." Friends, it's so simple. But you know, with us, like we always speak about Keith Green when he was speaking about Jesus and the project and the rich young ruler. And he was saying in that tract, and he says, "No, Jesus never went and persuaded that young man." With us in our modern campaigns, we're persuading him. And says, "No, please, you know, your mother loved you and your father died praying for you. And I'm sure your grandmother's waiting for you in glory. You know, won't you just consider this poor Jesus who died for you?" Yeah, the prophet says, and most of it just genders an emotion inside of somebody. And once the emotion passes by, the person can't live the word because they weren't ordained to it. But to the genuine believer, he's not a hotbed plant, the prophet says. He's the cactus. You can put him in a dry place. He's still going to blossom and bring forth some fruit. But you take that other plant that you got to spray all the time, the prophet says. Put some protection artificially over it so that the flies and the bugs don't get to it. Friends, and the problem is we spend 90% of our time with those 10% of the people. And the prophet says the ones we tried to convert, like when he tried to convert his gun and it blew up in his face. He says it's like us trying to convert people. They're the very ones who let us down. He says, but the genuine believer doesn't need a persuasion. Like this morning. "Would you like to go also?" "Where can we go? You have the words of eternal life." That's the attribute that Jesus is speaking of here. So in this prayer, Jesus is really showing us the message of the hour, friends. He's speaking of predestination, speaking of your glory, speaking of you inheriting glory, speaking of the elect amongst the peoples of the earth, speaking that in every age is going to send the message of the hour to them. They're going to receive the message of the hour. They're going to receive the glory of the Father. They're going to glorify His name. Jesus knew exactly God's program, how it was going to unfold itself. He says, "I gave them the words and they have received them. And they have known surely that I came out from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me." Friends. And others are wanting to fight the message now. Amen. People are betraying the message. People leaving the message, questioning the cloud and that. It's just predestination, friends. Amen. It's got to be like that. But the genuine believer, he's going to believe, Amen, that thou hast sent me. And that I came from thee. Amen. The genuine believer knows this message by personal experience in his soul. No one has to tell me. I know from personal experience the power of this message in my own experience that this message came from God. It's the only thing that will overcome the conditions of this day. Not because somebody told me. I've experienced it. I've seen other people trying to live hybridized according to a hybridized message. And I've seen it doesn't bring forth the results. But I've seen myself, when I just get into the purity of the message, there's a quickening and an unction and a power that binds the mamba. Exactly like Brother Vitaly was saying today. Those mambas that rise up in your life. I remember when I was first a believer, about a year as a believer, the devil will always do that. He anointed a certain girl that I was working with. She was a very pretty girl. And that girl really tried to snare me. And it was a big, big temptation. But friends, there was power enough in the message. Now, though your flesh sometimes would be shaken, but there was something inside of the soul, even as a young believer like Joseph, like Daniel, when he proposed inside of himself, I'm not going to defile myself. It just does something. It puts something inside of you. Because there's a word birth. Something comes forth. And you'll learn it for yourself that there's nothing like this message. This is the only, but you've got to keep it pure. Don't hybridize it. Don't add other things to it. Don't take things away. Just take it the way that it is, like Brother Vitaly said. The prophet says Elisha had to grow into that garment so that he could fit well into that garment of Elijah. And friends, that's exactly what we need to do. We don't change what it is that God's ordained for us. We need to grow into that. That's got to be our desire. So he says now in verse 9, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. Friends, you know what we are, friends? We are the Lamb's reward. We are his reward. The prophet says we are love gifts that the Father presents back to him. We are his reward for service. That's what we are. That's why when he looks at us, when he looked at his disciples, he didn't just see doubting Thomas at that time and Peter's going to betray me tonight. You can't rely on these people. They're going to let you down whenever you need them. He didn't see them like had friends. He saw them the way that we should see one another. He says, Father, thou gavest them to me. And friends, if we could see one another like that, that God gave you to me and God gave me to you. And God gave Brother Wilmore to all of us. And God gave Brother George to us. God gave Brother Vitaly to us this weekend. God gave Brother Maxwell to us. God gave Brother Francois to us. God gave Sister Eve to us with a gift. Sister Lily for her testimonies, her prayer, her faith. Brother Ellie for his talents and his gifts. Everyone here, friends. This wasn't man that did this. God gave us to one another. That was the revelation Jesus had. He didn't look just at the faults and the weaknesses. They all had their faults and weaknesses. They were arguing with each other about who would be the greatest and all these things. Jesus looked beyond that. And Jesus said, Father, thine they were, but you gave them to me. And that's why he prayed for them. Because he knew, Father, you've given them to me. And friends, God has given us this body. He's given us this family. And if we could rise up above the customs and cultures and skin color and language and that, and stay above those things and our own personal preferences of politics and colors and this, that, and the other, and focus on the things that are important and realize that God gave you to me. I need you. If God gave you to me, God knew that I needed you. And if God gave me to you, God knew the same thing. These things aren't optional attachments that you add as accessories to your car. These are things that God put as standard, knowing this machine's not going to function properly unless all of these parts are in their position. God gave us one to another, friends. And this was proposed in himself before the foundation of the world, the Bible says. But sometimes we come down from heavenly places and we start looking at each other and knowing each other after the flesh. And then we start thinking about, why does he sing, lead the songs? Or why does he preach? Or And we start thinking like natural people. We need to come up higher. And we start seeing it the way God saw it before the foundation of the world. And the wonderful thing about Jesus didn't look at their current condition. He knew what they would become. And that's what we should be looking as well. Don't focus so much at the current condition of your brother or your sister. Look at the potential. Look at the calling. Look at God's predestination inside of their life. And do all that you can to facilitate them getting into that position. Because that's what Jesus did. He didn't look at them the way that they were. He says in verse 10, all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Yes, Thomas. He's going to be saying it a few days later. Yes. I don't believe you resurrected until I put my finger in the wounds on his hands and in his side. I'll never believe this message. didn't work the way that. And what is Jesus saying? Father, thank you for them. I'm glorified in them. Hey, the way he looks at things is different than the way that we look at things. He knows Peter's going to be saying, I don't know this man, and swearing while he does it. Right in Jesus' hour of his greatest need. And Jesus is going to look around at Peter and say, but Peter. And Peter's going to go from there and weep bitterly. But Jesus says, Father, thank you for them. You gave them to me, and I'm glorified in them. He knew what they would become. He knew what he would make them. He knew the power of his own prayer. He knew that what his word was going to do to them. He knew what they were predestinated unto. He didn't just look at what they were at that time. And friends, that's the secret of, look what was in Jesus' heart when he was praying. These were the things that he was unfolding from his heart. He says it in verse 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those thou hast given me. What is he praying? Father, protect them. Father, watch over them. And imagine, now he's just praying for his 11 disciples. And imagine with all of the malice of the devil at that time. Imagine the darkness. Imagine all the forces that Satan had rallied against this little group of believers. Imagine Judas is betrayed. Here's the high priest. Here's the delegation from the temple. Here's the soldiers from the temple. Here's the Roman garrison. Here's everything against this little move in its infancy. And look at the power of Jesus' prayer. Jesus says, Father, protect them. Protect them. And with all that happened that night, and with everyone, the soldiers searching for them, and all the things taking place, not one of the disciples even had a scratch at the end of it all. Nothing. Was it because they knew a good hiding place? Was it because Peter tried to take out his sword, thinks maybe I'm going to fulfill this myself? You can't protect yourself. These aren't issues of flesh and blood. It was the power of his intercession. When he prayed, he says, Father, keep them, protect them, Father. Now, him praying for his 11 disciples at that time, as we get later on in the chapter, he prays for us. Amen. And friends, I'm 100% convinced. Amen. Heavens and earth will pass away. Amen. But his prayer is going to be fulfilled. Because there's nothing he ever put as intercession before his Father that ever was turned down. Amen. Nothing. And Jesus, he prayed. And that was the reason that they were kept. Verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Father, I've protected them from false doctrine. Father, I've protected them from temptation, from the snares of the devil, from the leaven of the Pharisees. Lord, I had it, but now I'm not going to be in the world anymore. So, Father, I pray for them now, that you keep them. Those that thou hast given me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Because the other believers were saying, but where did Judas go? Hey, what happened to Judas? Friends, the truth of it is, you know what happened to Judas? He went to his place. Amen. He fulfilled his portion of the scripture. That is what he was ordained unto. He was the son of perdition. But as human beings, and we should, we weep and you try this and you try that and the other. But sometimes, friends, it's just people fulfilling their scriptures. That's just people fulfilling their type. And Jesus knew that. And the disciples were wondering about Jesus. And Judas is saying, and Jesus is saying, he's the son of perdition. He's saying, Father, you gave these 11 to me, and I've kept them. But this one was the son of perdition, and he's gone to his place. It's a serious thing to think of, friends. It's a serious thing. And that's why God doesn't allow us to understand those things, because the way believers disagree with one another once in a while, everyone would be a son of perdition in certain people's eyes. You know? It's so easy when you get out of the spirit. You see your brother as a son of perdition. No matter what Peter did, Jesus never saw him as a son of perdition. No matter how much Thomas doubted, Jesus knew he's not a son of perdition, he's a son of God. And it's the same as the believers here as well. Doesn't matter what your brother does to you, doesn't matter what your sister does to you, no matter how hard done by you think you've been done, that's still a son and daughter of God. And respect them as such, and God will respect you for doing it. So Jesus knows that it's coming to the time of the end. He says in verse 13, now I come to thee. So he knew his time had come. Verse 15. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. I think when we get beyond the curtain of time, and God allows you to look back and see the footprints on the sands of time, you're going to see how many times that prayer was answered and you never knew that it had even been answered. The amount of times that you were kept from evil. I remember Brother George when he was young, how he almost passed away, and they thought he was going to pass away that night in the hospital with his rheumatic fever, whatever it was. And I'm sure there's many people can test it. I remember once I very nearly died when I was 15 years old, so close to death. And if you look inside of your life as well, and people will look naturally in the world and say, oh, you were so lucky. There's nothing like luck. It's the power of the high priest's prayer. When he says, Father, keep them from evil. Keep them, protect them from that evil. You'll find you'll almost be snared by him, like David says, like a bird escaping from the snare of the fowler. Just when the net closes, you're out of the net. And the prophet says that, he says, it'll happen to you so many times in your life. Sickness will come, different things, and the devil will say, I've got them now. But if it's not your time, you'll escape out of the snare. But if it's your time to go, it's your time to go. He says that, keep them from evil. Let's skip a little bit down to verse 20. Now his prayer changes. Imagine his prayer. You know what it is like when you pray. You know, at first you'll be struggling with this and struggling with that, and then you start getting into the spirit of prayer. And you get to the place, you come to the climax of your prayer. Maybe you've been worshiping the Lord, putting things under the blood, praying generally about this, that, and the other, but inside of your bosom, you've got the real petition that you're wanting to make. But you're waiting like Esther until you feel a liberty to put that before the throne. You're waiting for the golden scepter. And you know what it's like when you pray, then you get yourself really in the spirit. Now you feel, yeah, I can come boldly now to the throne of grace. Then you bring the real weighty petition that was in your heart and you present it at the throne now as the climax of your prayer. What was the climax of Jesus' prayer? This is the last part of his prayer, verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Amen. He prays for his bride. He prays for you and he prays for me. He prays a lot of other things for his disciples, prays about Judas. Then when he really gets into the full gear of prayer, and he knows now his prayer is going to be accepted, he comes to the most precious thing inside of his bosom. He says, Father, I don't only pray for these 11, but I pray for them all. I pray for them that are going to come in Laodicea. I pray for them that are going to come at the end. And he prays. What does he pray? Verse 21. That they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may also be one in us. You think that won't come to pass, friends? I tell you, I don't care what people say. I don't care the false ministers that rise up in the message. I don't care the false doctrines that sweep through. The bride will be one. Spiritually speaking. Because heavens and earth will pass away before this prayer fails to be fulfilled. That they may be one. As you and I are one. A spiritual unity. A harmony inside of our souls. A one accord. We may not be one in what we like as our favorite food. May not be one in agreeing on all the other things of this life. But the genuine believer, when the genuine revelation of the word comes to you and the genuine revelation of the word comes to me, we're going to be one. We're going to say amen to that truth. Because Jesus prayed for that. This was the ultimate in his prayer, that they may be one. And how does he fulfill that prayer? You know, Jesus isn't somebody who's just like other people and you pray, then you go and do nothing about it. Like you might pray and say, Lord, I'm out of harmony with my brother. Lord, you help him to understand that he's wrong. Many people pray, it's not that. Jesus, when he prayed, the next thing that he does, he goes to fulfill his prayer himself. Because what does he say in verse 22? And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one. He says, Father, I'm praying for them to be one. I'm going to make sure they won. I'm going to give them my glory. And once they receive my glory, it's going to enable them to be one. Amen. That's why you can find when people can't get in unity, they don't have enough of the glory. Amen. They need to spend more time in his glory. They need to be like David, like Moses, and soak more in of the glory on the mount. So when you come down, you're shining with the glory. And when you can't agree with each other, if you both spend some time in the glory, And then you come down together, you're going to be able to fulfill exactly what Jesus said. You're going to be one. As Father, thou art in me and I in thee, that there may be one in us. It's a spiritual unity. But in order to equip us to fulfill this unity, Jesus had to give us his glory. And that's why he would pray for glory from his Father. Father, glorify thou me, that I might glorify thee. And that's why you and I continually need to pray, Father, glorify thou me. Like Moses prayed when he knew the burdens of the people and he knew all the things taking place in the camp of Israel. He says, Lord, show me your glory. Amen. When he was up in the mountain, he knew he had the ear of God. Special time, 40 days fellowship without food and water in the presence of God. And then he comes now. What does Moses pray for? He says, Father, show me your glory. Because unless you show me your glory, I'm not able to go down and do anything with those people. And it's the same as you and I, friends. We need to receive of his glory that we can fulfill what we are sent to do so that we can glorify his name. And only when we're walking in the glory can we be one with one another. Verse 22, the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them that they may be one even as we are one. Verse 24, he finishes now. He gets to the very final petition. Father, verse 24, Brent. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Amen. That they may behold my glory. That's wonderful. The prophet says Jesus could have asked anything, but he had one desire at the end. It's that we could share his glory with him. That was his desire. That was the real greatest desire that he had. So many other things he could have prayed for. So many pressing things he had at this time. But the thing that he held most dear in his bosom was, Father, heaven's not going to be heaven without them. Heaven's not going to be complete without them. Father, the family has all got to be there. So, Father, give me the glory. Glorify me that I might glorify you. That I might transfer this glory to them that they may be one. That they in turn may glorify you with the glory they had before the foundation of the world. And then, Father, restore to them the glory which they had. And let them be with me that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Can you see, like Brother Vitaly said yesterday, about the basis of perfect faith? It's knowing who you are. It's knowing where you came from. And Jesus had perfect faith because he knew who he was. Amen. He says, Father, the glory I had with you before the foundation of the world. Hey, it's a serious revelation, that, friends. Amen. The prophet is seeing your name under the seals. Amen. Seeing your name in that plan of redemption there. That's a powerful boost to your faith. Amen. O righteous Father, verse 25 as we finish. The world hath not known thee, but I have known thee. And these have known that thou didst send me. Amen. And I have declared unto them thy name. Amen. And will declare it. That the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them. Amen. And I in them. Amen. Friends, all we can say to him today, Jesus, be it unto me according to your word. Amen. Be it unto me according to your word. Because he showed us his desire clearly there, friends. Amen. He showed us the very burden of his heart. He showed us the greatest desire that he has. The greatest desires that he has. And friends, if you and I, the desires that we have, the priorities on our prayer list, our spiritual desires before the Lord, if they would mirror these kind of desires, I think we're in a good place, spiritually speaking. Though there might be a lot of other things that you may need, a lot of other things that you may be going through. But if this kind of desire, this kind of spiritual condition is governing your life, I believe that's a life that glorifies him. That's a life that he himself can bless. And if you're not in that condition yet, I skipped one verse because I wanted to come back to it. When he says it in verse 17, the prophet speaks of it. Sanctify them through thy truth. Amen. Thy word is truth. So if we're not yet sanctified, set apart for service, consecrated and cleansed as vessels of honor, he made sure that everything that we needed for him to get the job done is there. He can sanctify us by his truth. He can prophesy upon us. Amen. And he can move us into the right position. He'll cleanse us with His word. He'll wash us in the waters. He'll quicken us by His word. He'll remove what shouldn't be there by the power of His word. Put us in the position that we're supposed to be, the spiritual condition. So if you're not in that condition, just get yourself in the anointed word. Get yourself in the message of the hour. Get yourself in prayer. Put your sins under the blood. Get yourself under the anointing of the word of the age. It'll sanctify you. It'll cleanse you. It'll set you apart. It'll separate you from the world and the foolishness of the world. Won't only separate you from the world, but it'll separate you unto divine service. And then He'll fill you with His glory. And once He fills you with the glory of His Spirit, of His nature, of the essence of who He is in the inner man, you are now able to glorify Him. And Father says, I pray for them because I'm glorified in them. And friends, as we come to the end of this life, is that not your desire? That you will say, Father, I finished the work. I glorified your name. And if you look in that chapter, you can go through and mark it yourself. The things He has provided for us to do it. He provided one another, ourselves. He's given us one another as gifts in order for us to be able to be ministered into that condition. He's given us the power of His intercessory prayer. He's given us the power of His word. I've given them thy word and they've received it. He says, I've sanctified them by your truth. Amen. Go and read in that chapter all the different things that He's made available to us. Amen. So that we can glorify His name. Finally, let's use what He's given us, friends. Amen. Let's yield unto Him and take full advantage of everything that His grace has given to us in this age. That we may glorify His name. Amen. And whenever you pray, friends, pray like that. Amen. Say, Father, glorify your daughter, that your daughter may glorify you. Father, glorify your son, that your son may glorify you. And when Jesus was there that time and the Greeks came and he was troubled in his soul. And he says, Father, what shall I say? Take this cup from me. He shook himself. He says, no. Unto this hour was I born. Father, glorify your name. He says, Lord, it's hard what you're putting me through. But Father, you glorify your name. Not my will, Lord. Not my will, but thy will be done. Friends, that can be the governing motive of your soul, of your spiritual life, of your prayer life. I don't think there's much for the devil to shoot at there. I don't think you're going to give much room for the devil if you're living in that kind of a place. And Jesus was the Word made flesh. And we were singing the song last night, we are the Word made flesh today. This is what the scriptures say. And He's still working on me to make me what I'm supposed to be. But in His eyes, I've already glorified Him. I've already glorified Him because as many as He foreknew, them He called. As many as He called, them He justified. As many as He justified, them He glorified. He's already glorified them. So let's just walk in that prophetic channel that He set for us. Let's submit ourselves to every ordinance. Let's submit ourselves to every visitation, every revelation, every ministration that is given. Let's say, Lord, you do the work. Glorify me that I might glorify you. And I believe He'll answer that prayer. Let's stand, saints. Let's come to our communion. Maybe we can sing a song there, Brother George, if you would come and let's have a little bit of worship. I don't know about you, but that's my desire. That's my desire. When you think of Him dying for you, you think of Him pouring out His blood for you. We think of Him on the cross. You think of Him and who Jesus is and all that He's done. The natural result, we love Him because He first loved us. You desire to glorify Him because of what He's done for you. Let's sing that song once more, brother. That one, I don't know why Jesus loved me. I don't know why He came. I don't know why He sacrificed His life. Oh, but I'm glad, so glad He did. He left His mighty throne in glory to bring to us redemption story. Then He died, but then He rose again. Oh, but I'm glad, so glad it is. I don't know why Jesus loved me. I don't know why He cared. I don't know why He sacrificed His life. Oh, but I'm glad, so glad He did. Where would I be if Jesus didn't love me? Where would I be if Jesus didn't care? Where would I be if He hadn't sacrificed His life? Oh, but I'm glad, so glad He did.
I don't know why.
I don't know why Jesus loved me. Oh, I don't know why He cared. I don't know sacrificed His life. Oh, but I'm glad, so glad He did.
Where would I be
if Jesus didn't love me? Oh, where would I be if Jesus didn't care?
Where would I be if He hadn't sacrificed His life? Oh, but I'm glad.
Sacrificed His life. Oh, but I'm glad, so glad He did. You know, like Brother Vitaly was saying today, there's many times when I go in songs, I like to change the words. Because that's, you know, when you first come to Christ, you can really sing that. I don't know why He sacrificed His life, but you do know why He sacrificed His life. You perfectly know why He sacrificed it. He's revealed Himself why He sacrificed His life. And sometimes you need to tweak some of those things, because when you first a believer, you say, I don't know why Jesus loved me. And then you start to realize, but hey, He's my big brother. We came from the same place that He came from. We came from the bosom of the Father. You know, and it's an amazing thing, friends, if you really do think about it. And many of the songs are very good songs, but you need sometimes just to do a little bit of a editing job there on the computer. We leave it to Brother Will's, pretty good at doing those things, to create something. Like when they speak about the day of redemption is near, I said, brothers, change, the day of redemption is here. You know, you've got to sing those things the way that they are. Because it's not near, it's here. We are living in the day of redemption. So I think it's true. So let's sing one more, bro. Michael just wanted a little bit of prayer there. He's got some issues which he wanted us to pray for. So just when you finish the song, we'd just like to pray for him. He's come in just asking us for prayer. So that's what we're here for. We're here to pray, to seek the face of God on behalf of people. So we'd be glad to pray for him as we finish the next song.
I bought a glass,
sails on a troubled sea. Never there's a wind in my sails, but I have a friend who watches over me. When the breeze turns into a gale, I know the master of the wind.
I know my blessed Redeemer.
I know the maker of the rain. He can calm the storms and make the sun to shine again. I know the master of the wind. Sometimes I soar like an eagle to the high. Above the peaks my soul can be found. An unexpected storm may drive me from the high. Brings me low, never brings me down.
I know
the master of the wind.
I know
I know the maker of the rain. He can calm the storms, make the sun to shine again. I know the master of the I know the master of the wind.
I know my blessed Redeemer.
I know the maker of the rain. He can calm the storm and make the sun to shine again. I know the master of the wind. Amen. Our brother's asking for prayer there just about certain issues that he has concerning the social and stuff, and he's asked us to pray for him. The Bible says, if we agree together, if two of you on earth agree, and I'm sure you all would agree with me just as I come to pray, that we desire the Lord to glorify his name. We'd say, Father, manifest your name, glorify your name, reveal yourself and make yourself known in this situation. Let's pray. Father, I do bring this petition up unto thee, Lord, upon this day. Because, Father, even as we read it in the Scripture, such a wonderful term that speaks of you. O thou that hearest and answerest prayer. Father, I bring this petition before thee upon this day.
Hallelujah.
And, Father, we bring it in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we say, Father, glorify thy name. Father, manifest your name. On behalf, Lord, of Michael, we'd ask and pray. Father, you are the one that can make a way where there's no way. You're the one, Lord, that can make a way in the wilderness, Lord. Father, you are the one that can open the Red Sea. You are the one that opened the Jordan, Lord. Father, you are the ones that brought down the walls of Jericho. Father, you are the one that, Father, brought down the prison house for Paul and Silas. Father, you are the one that opened the doors when Peter was in prison that night. And there was a prayer meeting going on. And Father, they didn't even believe their own prayers, but you were so faithful. That even when you delivered Peter and he went back, it was a surprise unto the people. So, Father, I do pray, Lord, upon this day, that you would take this opportunity, Lord, just to reveal yourself. That you are the God of heaven and earth. That you are the one that opens and no man can shut. That you are the one who shuts and no man can open. That when you speak, Lord, things happen. So, Father, we call Jesus on the scene. We ask of you, Lord, that you would speak into this situation, Lord. That you would thunder forth in the time of harvest once again. That, Father, you would just do something, Lord, for your glory. And let it just be so real unto Michael. That, Lord, he'll say, surely, God is in this place and I knew it not. Let it be so. And, Father, we prayed for your glory, not for ours. That you would glorify your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Saints, let's sing one more. Let's sing. That one again. He knows my name. He knows my every thought, and we come to communion. The Maker, He formed my heart before even time began. My life was in His hand. Oh, He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and He I have a Father. He calls me His own. He'll never leave.
He'll never leave me.
No matter where I go.
He knows.
He knows my name. And tears me when I fall.
I have an anchor. He's in my life.
In my life.
He placed me in the spirit. I faith he'll see me through.
He knows.
He knows my name.
Let's spend a little bit of time before the Lord and our friends. Let's put anything under the blood. Let's all pray. Let's wait upon the Lord. Put yourself, put your petition, put your burden, that when you approach the table, all is well, that you may receive the fullness of the blessing. Let's all pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, upon this evening, you know my desire, you know my prayer, Lord Jesus.
Now, Father, we pray for the visitor amidst our gates. You undertake this life, Lord. You give unto him, Lord, even as Lord said, he has a need at this time, and he's felt, Lord, Father. Oh, God, Lord, bring it, Lord, Father, to Lord, thine house, Lord, Savior God. We ask thy grace. You be glorified in all things. You be lifted above. Bless us now, hear us now. Shepherd us now.
Let's open a communion scripture before we come to the actual Lord's table. Just a reminder that we know these things. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We read it from 23 to 31. For I've received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Now if you think of it, it says that the very night that he was betrayed, the Bible says he gave thanks. You know, that's a real mature believer. That when things like Brother Vitaly was saying, when his dad had the heart attack, you're still at the post of duty. And that's when the Lord ministers to your needs. It's like when that man came to the queen that time. I've spoken of it before. And she said, my good man, I'd like you to go and oversee some business for me in France. And he says, but my lady, if I go and oversee your business, my business will suffer. And she said, my good man, if you oversee my business, I'll make sure I oversee your business. And it's exactly like the Lord. You know, just be faithful. Just be at the post of duty. Just do what he leads you to do, and he'll take care of the rest. Amen. Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the new testament in my blood. This do you as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and I'm sure that we've examined ourselves. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Amen. So I'm sure we've all found ourselves guilty and we received the pardon before we come to the Lord's table by the grace of God. Let us pray for that. Father, we thank you for this wine. We thank you for this bread. Father, such simple elements that they are. And Father, to the world it's foolishness, Lord. But to us, Lord, there's a power behind these things. There's a revelation, Lord. When we break this bread, Lord, it's your broken body, your body broken for us. And Jesus, where would we be if it wasn't for this broken body? If it wasn't for the Passover lamb who took away the sins of the world? Jesus, that's the first step, the first base of redemption. And without such, without the wine that speaks of the blood that you so freely shed for us, the blood of the new covenant, where would we be upon this day? But Father, we thank you for this grace. We thank you for what these things represent. We thank you for what these things have done for us. And even as Brother Francois prayed, Lord, there's healing in these things, Lord. So Father, may you bring healing, spiritual healing, physical healing, healing in the body. Whatever is required as we partake of this cup and we partake of this bread. May you bless it. And even as you wash one another's feet, Lord, Father, may we remember that these are the ones that thou hast given unto us. And Father, may we pray in that way. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen.
Christ, thou redeemer, died on the cross, died for the sin, paid all his due, sprinkle your soul in the blood of the Lamb, and I'll pass, will pass. Judgment is coming, all will be there, each one receiving justly his due. Hide in the fountain, open for sin, and I'll pass, will pass.
your life.
See the blood.
Tries to tempt me and ask me where he doubt. I say, my sins are gone, gone, gone.
You got
me into trouble, but Jesus brought me out. I know that my sins are gone.
Where are they?
They are underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary,
as far removed as darkness is from dawn.
Of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone.
Well, let's praise God.
Praise God, my sins are gone.
Oh, I'm living.
Praise God, now for Jesus.
I'm
happy night and day
because my sins are gone. My soul was filled.
Jesus made you
with
it.
God,
I pray, I know.
Oh, I know my sins
are gone.
Where are they?
They are underneath the blood
on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God.
Praise God, my sins are gone.
Well, let's praise God.
Praise God.
now for Jesus.
I'm happy night and day
because my sins are gone.
My with music,
with all my heart I say,
I know
my sins are gone.
Oh, where are they?
They are underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary,
as far removed as darkness is from gold. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me.
Praise God, my sins are gone.
Oh, praise God.
Praise God, my sins are gone.
I remember somebody once said that, why do you people sing so many happy songs after communion? And I said, because we're celebrating a resurrection, not a funeral. It's because of what he's done to us. How can we not rejoice? We could have been dead by now. Many of us would have been dead in the world. But he redeemed us from the devil's yoke. He redeemed us from Egypt. Took us through the Red Sea. Drowned our enemies behind us. How can Miriam not rejoice because of what the Lord has done for her? Let's sing another one, Brajul.
Once sat alone beside the
highway begging, his eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his right and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and paid his darkness free. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. He takes the good
and fills the life with glory.
For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay. The evil spirit's broken among the tomb. He dwelt in misery. He cut himself as demons possessed him. Then Jesus came and set the captives free.
Come,
the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom and fills the light with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay. Unclean, unclean, the leper cried in torment. The deaf, the dumb, in helplessness to kneel. The fever raged. The tempter's bow is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom and fills the light with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay. So men today have found a Savior able. They could not call passion, lust, and sin. Their broken hearts had left them sad and lonely. Then Jesus came and dwelt himself within.
Oh, let him come.
When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom
and fills the light with glory.
For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
For all is changed.
For all is changed.
The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. I remember we used to always give the challenge when we were back home. Brother George testifies of it. Whenever somebody new would come to church, testify to them, we'd say, I give you a challenge. Just come for a month. Come for 6 weeks. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And if somebody gives a fair opportunity, you'll never be disappointed. But sometimes it's just we're not taking enough of it in to really get the real job done. And I really do believe we need to taste and see that the Lord is good. Let's sing one more before we have foot washing. Let's sing, Jehovah Jireh is my provider. He's more than enough for me.
Jireh, my provider. You are more. Oh,
John chapter 13. Let's come to foot washing. The Bible says some have entertained strangers unawares. And I think sometimes you don't know whose feet you're washing. Amen. You know, sometimes, like the prophet says, that young man that comes in that you look down on, he might be the next Charles Finney. He might lead 10,000 people to Christ. You never know, friends. God knows what's inside of somebody. And I do believe the Spirit of Christ in a man allows you to see the best in a person. Amen. That you see the potential. That you see what they are. And Jesus washed his disciples' feet because he knew they would share his glory. Let's read from 12. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. If I've given you an example that you should do as I've done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Amen. Like I say, we know them and we're happy to do them. May the Lord bless the foot washing. Ask the sisters to come this side, brothers to go that side. And may the Lord be with us.
to the hungry call it now. Come and die.
Had the word. So what I did is I left the three items to the end so that we can sit if you want to be seated. And we have three different items to be sung. And I think it's a nice way to finish off before we close in prayer, just to let the saints come and bless the saints. So the first we'll ask is maybe Sister Eve, if she'd like to come. Sister, she has a song, I think, if she's... Are you there, sister? Are you ready? Okay, if the sister could please come.
I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I want to be, but I know one thing. I'm not what I used to be. I'll keep pressing for the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus, for I want to be what God wants me to be.
God bless you, saints. There's no one great amongst us. We're nothing on our own. We make mistakes and often slip. Just come on, flesh and bone, but someday I'll prove just why I say I'm of a special kind. For while he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Amen? For he knew us, yet he loved us. He whose glory makes the heaven shine. Yes, Lord, I'm so on his face, the thorns were on his head, blood was on his scarlet robe, stained in crimson red, and though his eyes they were on the crowd that day, he looked ahead in time. For while he was on the cross, we was on his mind. For we are so unworthy. Oh, such mercy. For while he was on the cross, you and I were on his mind.
If the saints could just check why the alarm's going outside, I don't know if it's us. It's okay, yeah. Next is the sisters' choir. We want to hear them sing as well if they want to come now. Amen.
Thank you.
It's wonderful. Yeah, it's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. So our list has grown to four. We'll ask Brother Brian, Sister Deirdre. They wanted to come as well. Amen.
Brothers and sisters, if you could bear with us, it's now been about 2 years since Deirdre wrote this song, or the hymn, should I say. I was even trying to remember the tune. It's got to be a bit of a problem, but we hope things, the Lord willing. I'm sure he'll help us out, and so will you, hopefully. Okay. So if I start singing, Brother George, I'm hoping you can pick hold of the key with your guitar. Okay. This is what Deirdre wrote 2 years ago. He feeds the birds, he clothes the lilies, he really cares for you and I. If we will pray unto our fathers, we'll hear him answer. Now here am I. I hear your prayers. You are my children. You're placed on earth to praise my name. Jesus Christ, Lord God Almighty, I'm forever the same. Have you got kids the size of mountains that by man's power you can't get through? I'll take those cares and make them nothing to show my power, what I can do. I hear your prayers, you are my children, you're placed on earth to praise my name. Jesus Christ, Lord God Almighty, I'm forever the same. Believe my word, claim every promise, say it is his word, and it is mine. Just you break through, pray in my spirit, you're leaving all your cares behind. I hear your prayers, you are my children, you're placed on earth to praise my name. Jesus Christ, Lord God Almighty, I'm forever the same. Hallelujah.
To pray for revelation of today. He spoke to you just what I told him, so just believe him, I'll follow on.
You hear my prayers, you are my children, you're placed on earth to praise my name. Jesus Christ, Lord God Almighty, I'm forever the same. Revelation makes you strong. It's the rock I build my church upon. The gates of hell, they won't prevail. You're locked in me, and I can't fail. I hear your prayers, you are my children, you're placed on earth to praise my name. Jesus Christ, Lord God Almighty, little to say.
I'm sure there's plenty more songs where that came from, Sister Didre. I believe it, friends. All you've got to do is just yield yourself and see the good things that come forth. And it's amazing. It's 2 years, but it just came so quickly again. And the musicians got in gear as well. It was just a real good thing. One more here. We have, maybe you could ask Brother George, do you mind giving us one item, Brother George? Is that one on Joshua Stop the Sun? If you wouldn't mind, it's a nice song. And then we'll have one final one after that. Unless somebody else has something.
I find the word, sorry. Sorry. Joshua spoke to the sun. Say to his mother. Very sorry. I'll try to guess the words. I wrote the song in it. By the word of the Lord, Joshua spake to the sun. Don't move until the battle is won. Moon, stay in line. In the valley of Ajalon, there was no day like that ever. The Lord yearken unto man. We come from his side. In the word we must abide. The life of his bread, a weakening he that's in the shadow of day. He can't stop the sun. By faith the victory's won. Bride of Christ, stay alive. Whoa, whoa, Bride of Christ, stay alive. There stood Zacchaeus of Jericho. He reasoned, but he had to go. One look at Christ, he ceased to run. But how he stopped the sun. Right there his battles were all won. For Zacchaeus lined up with the sun. We come from his side. In the word we must abide. Life of his bread, a weakening that's in the shadow of day. You can't stop the sun. By faith the victory's won. Bride of Christ, stay alive. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Bride of Christ, stay alive. Here in this last golden age, an end time people in a final stage, we have seen the manifestation of the Son of Man. Bride of Christ, keep pressing while you can. Won't be long, we'll be going on. Maranatha, even now. You can't stop me side. In the word we must abide. The life of his bread, a weakening that's in the shadow of day. You can't stop the sun. By faith the victory is won. Bride of Christ, stay alive. Whoa, whoa, Bride of Christ, you must stay alive.
sure there's a lot more where that one came from as well. Just to say before the final item here, next Friday there's no service because we're having a special meeting on Saturday starting 4 o'clock, which is our testimony and our praise meeting. So Brother Dave wanted to give us a testimony there, but we asked him to keep it for next week. It's wonderful to give thanks unto the Lord. It's wonderful to gather in His house to worship Him. So let's come next Saturday, 4 o'clock. We're just coming to worship the Lord. We're just coming to thank Him. What the Lord has done for you, get yourself prayed up, get the anointing on you, that your testimony may be a blessing, that your item may be a blessing if these ones have been today. Do appreciate the time with Brother Vitali, Sister Honor. It's been a wonderful time. May the Lord grant them grace. They'll be with us a couple more days, flying on Wednesday. So if they can take greetings back to Brother Pavel, Brother Nikolai, all the saints that are there, and say that we really do remember them. Brother Pavel will be coming in a couple of months' time as well, so we look forward to that. So we couldn't let them go without one more item, so we kept that one until last. So we'd ask them if they wouldn't mind one more item.
Зрением
Божье стало плотью во мне. В Боге цель моя и Божий ген внутри меня. Родных племенных в хижине земной. Реально сущность мне, где сотни ангелов везде, источник вечный из души во мне.
Let's stand. We'll ask Brother Max, would you mind coming to close for us in a word of prayer, Brother Max, if you wouldn't mind. And God speed as we go home. May the Lord bless us in the week and we meet again in the house of the Lord. Let's sing one as the brother. Very good.
Yes, we bless your name, Lord.
I give you all.
We give you all the honor, Lord.
We
give you the praise. Oh, you are the light. Oh, the truth, the way.
I bless your name.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, oh God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, what a wonderful time, the Lord, we have had with you. Oh, even as your word says, no one can come unto you except you, Father. Oh, you draw him, O Lord. And Father, today you drew us closer to you. And Father, we thank you, O God, that you have ministered and poured into our hearts, Lord, the oil of the word of God. Oh, Lord, we thank you. We bless you, Lord. Father, we thank you. The Lord, your word has been so life, Lord, unto us. Father, we thank you once again, Lord. even the message that came.
Amen.
Lord Jesus,
amen.
Oh, what touched my heart so much.
Amen.
Oh, Elijah's garment.
Amen.
Lord, let us put ourselves and fit ourselves into that garment, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus,
amen.
Even as you said, oh, you will glorify your name.
Amen.
Lord, that day when Jesus said it,
amen.
Father, glorify your name.
Amen.
A voice came from heaven.
Yes.
And Jesus said, that voice is for our sake.
Amen.
Oh, that he said, I've already glorified.
Amen.
And I'll glorify it again.
Yes.
And Lord, we know you glorify your name in us, Lord. We are the ones that, Lord, you glorify. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you, we bless you, Lord.
Amen.
For the word that has come, oh God.
Amen.
Lord, we commit our precious brother Vitalis, Lord, into your hands.
Amen.
That you have used so mightily, oh God, to bless your bride, Lord.
Amen.
And Father, let these words that we have heard, oh God, the word of life, oh Lord Jesus,
amen.
Oh, be part of our lives, Lord. Father, never let us be only hearers.
Amen.
As you said, blessed is the one that read and hear this word and keep them.
Yes.
Lord, let us keep those words, Lord.
Amen.
Father, let it be our life, O Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, we commit Lord Jesus as he goes back.
Please, Lord.
Father, that you grant him Jenny Mercy's and please, wife. Oh, they have been a real blessing to the church.
Yes.
Lord, bless them and bless their church, oh God.
Amen.
Bless their pastor, Lord.
Amen.
And even Father, even we here, Lord, we say thank you for our pastor, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus, bless him, oh Lord, and the family.
Amen.
Lord, bless the officers in this church.
Amen.
Bless the musicians, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Bless everyone in this church.
Please, Lord.
Bless your children, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Oh, Father, we thank you. Even we never want to live here.
Amen.
Oh, because it's so a joy, Lord.
Amen.
But Lord Jesus, even as we live here, we know we are not leaving your presence.
Yes.
Oh, that your presence will go with us, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, carrying this word of life into our hearts, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we thank you. We bless you.
Amen.
Grant us many mercies.
Please, Lord.
And Lord, when once again you draw us closer to you, Lord, we know that so much will be in store for us.
Amen.
And Father, what can we say?
Yes.
We thank you that we can point to an empty tomb.
Amen.
The Lord, you are still alive.
Yes.
And as long as you live, Lord, we can face tomorrow.
Amen.
Oh, we thank you. We bless you.
Yes.
In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray with all thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, saints. Maybe Brother George has one for us as we dismiss. Yeah.
You testify to one.
Oh, we testify to you.
Yeah. Me and Brother Paul and Brother Wilmore. Remember?
Brother George is just saying that guy who came, Michael.
We testified to him once. Are you gay? Remember that day?
Testified to him once on the streets. So you never know. You cast your bread upon the waters. Yeah. Let's pray for the man.
I'm not what I want to be, I'm not what I want to be, but I know one thing, I'm not what I used to be. I'll keep pressing for the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus, for I want to be what God wants me to be. Lord, give me the strength as I run this race, to stay on the path no matter what it takes. Jesus Christ in my heart, I feel the change growing from the start. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? None but Jesus Christ, call him on the sea. Lord, make me anew. Oh, I'm not what I ought to be, I'm not what I want to be, but I know one thing, I'm not
what I used to be. I'll keep pressing for the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. I want to be what God wants me to be. I feel in my life it's a two-horse race. The black and the white, Lord, I must keep pace. Who will win the race? The choice is yours. The one you feed the most. He who began the good work in you is faithful to finish. His word is true. Let him in your heart. Lord, have your way. Oh, I'm not what I ought to be,
what I ought to be,
what I want to be, but I know
one thing.
I'm not what I used to be. I'll keep pressing for the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. I want to be what God wants me to be. I'm changing my life now that Christ is in. A picture of Him they can clearly see. More I want to die, I must decrease. For Christ must have full reign. For you I live and alone we serve. I give you me, Lord, you really deserve. Your elect we are, called long before time. Oh, I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I ought to be. But
one thing, not what I used to be. I'll keep pressing for the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. For I want to be God wants me to be. For I want to be.